City Limits is a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media and is made possible thanks to generous grant support from the Central New York Community Foundation and the John Ben Snow Memorial Trust, and listeners like you. To support the project, visit the City Limits About page at citylimitsproject.org.
I fit the description, as do many of the people I represent, and that description is Black.
At home and around the country, voices are crying out.
No justice! No justice!
Some are looking for answers.
So I tell you, accountability is necessary.
Others are pleading for change.
I'm not seeing yet a lot of coordination to get the work that needs to be done, done.
It's time to examine the harmful impacts of structural racism on society and shine a light on the social and cultural movements focused on social justice.
I am afraid for Black people. I am afraid for poor people. I am afraid for disabled people. I am afraid for trans people. And the list goes on.
This is City Limits, Winds of Change.
Welcome to City Limits, Winds of Change. I'm Chris Bolt. Perhaps no images of racial tensions hit harder than those of a white police officer kneeling on the neck of a Black man for 8 minutes and 45 seconds. When George Floyd died, it sparked protests around the country and here in Syracuse demanding changes to the way police do their jobs, especially as it relates to Black and brown people. Local marches, rallies, and protests, as well as countless hearings and meetings, couldn't be ignored and spurred demands, statements, and new laws and procedures. But was it enough? On this episode of City Limits, Winds of Change, I wanted to review the problem, proposals, the progress, and the state of police reform that followed the passionate outcry for change here in Syracuse. I'm here in front of City Hall. A few cars and a bus go by. It's a muted downtown Syracuse. The weather, COVID, and a general lack of activity make the scene pretty quiet. But that's not how things were back in the summer, when crowds repeatedly used the City Hall steps to say they'd had enough.
Black Lives Matter! Young Lives Matter! Easy to drive down your street, maybe because your music may be a little bit too loud. It is not easy driving down the street because I'm driving a Mercedes Benz and my color of my skin is not what you think that it should be. It is not easy for our young people that look like you and I to be able to walk the streets at a certain time of the night.
The audacity of it being called a civil rights law that affirms the right for police to hide their misconduct. Whether you engage in efforts of excessive force, which is legal terminology for putting your hand on someone's neck and strangling them, which by the way only changes Syracuse out of litigation, out of suing, not because someone decided to be benevolent to the Black people and said we shouldn't put them in chokeholds, not because we didn't see what happened to Eric Garner.
I respect police officers, but just want them to be able to, you know, be held accountable. And when there are the few rogue cops that really are excessively aggressive, want that information to be better released and made more public.
More people that come out, we show our support in numbers as white allies, as just people in general. We all need to be taking action in whatever ways we can, whether it's donating or protesting. Those are the direct action ways of taking action.
A lot of the issues of police brutality and systemic racism and like the oppression of Black people in America, it's not just limited to these instances we see like with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. I think it's important for the Syracuse community to realize that these issues are affecting our own city and that we are complicit in them.
It's not just police brutality, it's white supremacy that we are protesting. White supremacy is the virus that is killing so many people in this country today.
In the past year, we've seen a lot happen in terms of racism, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done, not just within the police force in this community, too.
At the very least, when they see how many people do show up, they'll start to think twice, you know, and by the they, I guess I mean whoever thinks that injustice, that nobody cares. This is showing that people aren't apathetic.
We're out here today in the middle of a global health crisis, risking our safety because we are tired. I wholeheartedly agree with this police reform legislative package as it stands, without any amendments or it being watered down. All these bills are long overdue for our state.
Lives matter! Young lives matter! Black lives matter!
The protests included and spawned groups such as Last Chance for Change, Rebirth Syracuse, and the Syracuse Police Accountability and Reform Coalition, or SPARC. What emerged was a list of 9 demands that included changing policies around use of force and body cameras, more accountability measures, including giving more teeth to the Citizen Review Board, and ways to demilitarize the police while shifting toward counseling and mental health professionals for some types of police responses. Now, the Citizen Review Board, which takes complaints on police conduct and investigates them, had reform measures to add to that list.
Increase the amount and quality of training for police officers in de-escalation techniques.
CRB Board Chair Peter McCarthy.
We understand the need for them to establish a command presence when they arrive on a scene, but we also think that it's very important that they be ready and equipped to kind of lower the temperature in a conflict situation, and that they need techniques. They do some training about that, but we don't feel like it's emphasized enough.
And CRB Director Renette Relaford notes the level of participation of protests, some with broad and diverse attendees, another group that marched for 40 straight days. She says it showed the feeling of many regarding police conduct was a powder keg.
I would say to you that the city of Syracuse has always been one step away from having a particular situation like a Breonna Taylor, like a George Floyd, like a, the situation that happened in Rochester with regard to, I think his last name is Prue. Let's not think for any moment that we've been in a better shape. So it's like, what are we going to have in place when that time arises? Because if not, then you think the protest for 40 days was a long time. Think about what's going to happen when we have this very situation.
The protests and calls for change did not go unheard. Proposals for reforms hit the Syracuse Common Council, the New York State Legislature, and perhaps most prominent here in Syracuse, an executive order out of Mayor Ben Walsh's office with 16 measures the city would enact or work toward. He says he tried to cover most of the demands of the protesters.
When you look at the executive order that I released with the 16 specific actions and the various demands of different organizations and protest groups, there's a lot of alignment. Where there are challenges is where we don't exactly agree on everything. The work of policing is extremely difficult. It's extremely dangerous. And with it comes great responsibility. And so we have to balance the realities of the difficult and dangerous work that our officers do with the priority of maintaining the sanctity of life for all that we serve and making sure that those that we serve are getting their police services in an equitable and fair way. So it's a lot to balance. And again, we're not always going to agree on everything.
His order covers use of force policy, body cameras, more accountability and transparency. Sounds like the list of demands, right? You also heard in Walsh's voice there a focus on trying to preserve life. And that means a theme in some of these items to get away from the possibility of deadly force. But changing use of force practices is more than just policy on a page, because each incident is different and you can't get away from discretion and the possibility of bias.
The challenge, though, is that while it looks rhetorically as if there's been this sea change of things that have happened, the devil is always in the details.
Yusuf Abdul Kadir with the New York Civil Liberties Union is quite aware of the problem after championing for years a policy based on best practices to avoid force when possible.
And when you look at the details, particularly around his use of force policy, the use of force policy from Syracuse Police Department, which allows officers to engage in a number of different types of conduct that can be as escalated to lethal, deadly force. They don't fall in line with those best practices. There's still entirely too much discretion when it comes to engaging in force. Entrenched with potential bias, especially racial bias.
Walsh argues they are trying to shift the letter and the spirit of the policy.
There were a number of things that were in previous use of force policies that were present but weren't necessarily prioritized or elevated. And so when you look at it, some of the first things that you'll see is really reflective of our values, that you know, we are focused on the preservation of the sanctity of life. The fact that we want officers, you know, when safe and feasible, to de-escalate situations. We want to reinforce an officer's sworn duty to intervene, something that, again, goes back to that flashpoint moment when George Floyd was murdered. These are really important values that we wanted to be very upfront about, again, both for the officers that are going to be reading and ultimately get trained on this policy, but also for the community that occasionally will be in these situations where there needs to be a clear understanding.
Another area where the mayor's proposals overlap community demands is in the use of body cameras. Right now, there aren't enough cameras for every officer to use one in the field. Walsh wants to change that.
And just as important as making sure that we have the equipment, we need to make sure that we have the policies in place to ensure that it's used properly. And you know, as it relates to the policy that we released, we think that it addresses some gaps where we weren't always getting good footage because there was some ambiguity around, you know, when they should be on, when they should be off. And really the goal is that they are on for the entirety of the law enforcement activity, the entirety of the engagement. And so, again, that's what we tried to accomplish with the policy, and we're going to give the community an opportunity to give us feedback on it.
Among the mayor's proposals is fighting to keep in place a decades-old consent decree. It says the police department can adjust hiring practices so the forces better reflect the racial makeup of the community. Deputy Mayor Sharon Owens says it allows the city and its departments to sidestep hiring solely based on civil service test results.
What the consent decree allows us to do is look at the testing of minority and women within that list, but not having to go down the sequential order of that list to identify the higher testers in those particular demographics.
The city recently issued a court filing to keep the consent decree in place after a move by the U.S. Department of Justice to repeal it, something Owens contends would damage diversity efforts in the police workforce.
I gotta tell you, without that ability, a large percentage of the individuals we've been able to get through our hiring process and to our academies probably would not have been there.
Keep in mind, many of these are works in progress. Back in October, Walsh launched a special online portal to track target dates and developments in all of these police reform measures as a show of good faith on transparency. The draft use of force policy is there for public review. Hearings are expected early next year. So, what was gained? While concrete measures that really do impact police misconduct around force or racial bias have been enacted, state lawmakers repealed the 50A civil rights law that had shielded conduct records of police officers from the public. That has long been a call of reformers who wanted to be able to look at prior actions and discipline that could show a pattern of conduct. Syracuse Common Councilors passed the Right to Know Act, so anyone being stopped would know why, the names of officers, and be told an avenue to make a complaint about police conduct if they wanted to. And Mayor Walsh continues to take steps on his plan.
The one thing that we all agree on, whether you're talking to police officers or community residents, is that there's room for improvement, significant room for improvement.
At the start of December, Walsh announced a new policy giving the public input on any new surveillance technology the city uses or buys. That would include cameras and other monitors that might raise concerns about civil liberties, racial equity, or social justice. He also announced progress on using alternative policing for calls involving homelessness, mental illness, noise complaints, and other nonviolent situations. This might help avoid situations that escalate once police arrive. Finally, he's ordering further review when any military equipment is purchased to make sure it's justified by department need. Still, Abdul Qadir with the Civil Liberties Union says in many cases, policies fall short of what he thinks is needed for real change.
But I don't want to leave people with the impression that like everything is hopeless and we're finished and we might as well not do it. It's so important for people to understand that we repealed 50A, which is a civil rights law that allowed officers' disciplinary records to be hidden from public viewing, fundamentally because people mobilized this summer. We have laws around anti-chokeholds in the state, fundamentally because of people's mobilization this summer. You know, we have an executive order locally in the city of Syracuse that charts out some reform.
And he emphasizes what was gained was largely attributable to people and their mobilization.
Have we ever gotten anything changed in this country since our founding, since the Boston Tea Party, since the Civil Rights Movement, since abolition, since the Women's Liberation Movement, is when people organized, got into the streets and said, enough is enough and things ought to change. And we are going to demand that those change happen.
The CRB's Relaford also acknowledges progress through the movement, even if it's slow.
So the Right to Know Act, yes, we know that it's been around for more than a year. And so right now, the protest and everything is just making it more of a priority because people are watching. And now the community is holding people to the fire a lot more than what they had been before.
Now, I want to reiterate the Citizen Review Board and the NYCLU, as well as citizen reform groups, have been working on all kinds of issues around police conduct, transparency, accountability, and police community relations for years. One example I didn't really go into is giving the CRB, when it recommends discipline after investigating a misconduct complaint, some actual power. The Syracuse police chief has at least said he would consider such recommendations before handing down discipline. But at the center of so many of these issues is bias and racism that can mean a police encounter is different for someone who is white compared to someone of color. Abdul Qadir points to one example in DeWitt where a man waved a machete at police.
We saw in DeWitt that an individual was able to be apprehended and he is with us still, right? He is able to potentially get the treatment that he needs, which is how the system should work. Unfortunately, that system doesn't work for Black and brown people in Syracuse. When an officer views a young Black man, a young Black woman, they view them as inherently dangerous and a threat. And that gives them license to use their fear, that bias, to potentially escalate levels of force against them.
And as recently as late November, the reform group Rebirth Syracuse was holding rallies in front of the sheriff's department over injuries to 15-year-old Kalu Boykins they say came from deputies during an encounter. The Black teen was shown with facial, arm, and leg injuries. Now, no one is saying every officer, deputy, or trooper acts that way or is motivated by bias, fear, or racism. And it remains unclear what kinds of policies could ever outlaw inner feelings. But measures are being worked on to increase accountability, require other officers to intervene, and change the way police is conducted, equipped, and funded to chip away at the ways policing can be racist.
I'm not a threat.
For City Limits Winds of Change, I'm Chris Bolt.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more from this series at citylimitsproject.org and subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.